Good morning and welcome to our worship services of the Henderson Church this morning. It is a joy to welcome you, joy to worship with you, and we're looking forward to a great day not only of worship, already our Bible classes earlier this morning, but our entire day of activities, and we are happy that you are a part of it. This is a special day in the sense that we are anticipating next Lord's Day being in the new auditorium, but we will meet here first. And if everything goes well this week, and we're anticipating that it will, with the Lord's blessing, then everything will be ready, and we're looking forward to that great occasion. Dedication Day is the 26th, but Transition Day is the 19th. And here's a special request that we would like to make of some of you. We'd like to reserve these first three, four, maybe five, maybe more rows that will be for those of you who attended the Henderson Church in the late 40s or into the early 50s, and you don't mind admitting it. And you and your families are invited to sit right here. And after the opening of the service next week and instructions are given, then you will lead in the transition from this building into the new building. So let's try to remember that and look forward to that. I think that will be a wonderful thing to see, and we're thankful for all of you who are in that particular group. Not only yourself, but also your families are included in this special invitation. We're looking forward to our worship service this morning. Clay will return to lead us in our singing. We're grateful for your presence. Pat Ashley will have our Bible reading from James chapter 4, Brother Milton Sewell, our opening prayer. David Milner will preside at the Lord's table. Roy will have our lesson today. And Michael Green, our closing announcements, and Austin Painter will have our closing prayer. It's great to see you. Let's worship together.
Number 542, Purer in Heart, O God.
Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will most lovingly. Let me with Thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. That I Thy hope one see, keep me from secret sin, reign Thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to be.
122, Dear Lord and Father of mankind. This will be the song for our scripture reading and prayer.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. grace. Reclothe us in a rightful mind and pure lives. Service find in thee for reverence praise. In simple trust like this Syrian Sea, the gracious calling of the Lord, let us like Him without a word rise up and follow Thee. Drop Thy still dews up quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of
Would you pray with me, please? Father, on this wonderful, beautiful day, we're thankful for the use of this building, its builders, its donors, for these many years. For the messages from the Bible, from this pulpit, and these classrooms. For the many souls that have been saved, the many sins that are forgiven. The times the Lord's Supper has been observed in this room, we're so thankful that that Christ could be honored this way. We're thankful for all the thousands of prayers directed to You, the many beautiful songs and the beautiful singing that's in praise and adoration of Your high and holy name. We're thankful for the many who put Christ on in baptism in this baptistry right here in this room. We're thankful for the new Christian homes that were united in marriage here in this room. For the so many who have grown up from birth even till now in this building. And it's called home for them. For many who have been remembered in funeral services here. For the faith that has grown in so many here in this building, for the many gospel meetings, the vacation Bible schools, the Fried Hartman Chapel services, for the guest speakers of the past like Brother Marshall Keeble, N.B. Hartman, H.A. Dixon, Gus Nichols, Guy Woods, V.P. Black, and many, many others that are still with us today, for the tremendous impact of Miss Laura Laycook, who taught down in the basement, but she changed the lives of so many children, making better people from them, out of them, because she loved You. For the warm fellowship of believers that have been in this room and the delight of being Christians and looking forward to coming and worshiping here each Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we're thankful for this. We're thankful for the new babies that have been introduced in this building, the new members who've been added and introduced. We're thankful for all the elders, the deacons, Bible class teachers, the nursery attendants, the volunteers who work, the secretaries, the staff, preachers, youth ministers, educational directors, and missionaries who have seen this as a focal place for their work. Thank You that You kept this building safe through the many storms, especially the tornado of 1952. And we're thankful for the many years of stewardship of this facility. And we look forward to the future. But we are thankful for Your taking care of things as You have. We're thankful that it's all been dedicated to You from the very beginning. It continues to be dedicated to You and Your service. We're thankful that you're our Father, and so many times we've called on our Father while we're in this room together. We're thankful for that your Son has been honored and recognized and appreciated for his great sacrifice through the Lord's Supper being served here each Sunday. And just looking and seeing the Bibles in the pew, we're reminded of the great work of the Holy Spirit in guiding those who wrote the Bible. And now we don't have to go and find prophets. We can read in our own Bibles that are in our own hands or here in the pews what you intend and want for us to do. And that's comforting, our Father. We ask, Father, that you be with us as we continue to worship you. Forgive us of our sins. And we look forward to the message from your word that our brother will deliver to us this morning, and also our brother tonight. And we were so thankful to be in class this morning to hear the message that we had from your word in our classes. Thank you again, Father, for letting us be here. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper today, we'll sing Hallelujah, What a Savior, number 203. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We'll sing all five verses, please.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be. Savior, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Corroy's lesson this morning, start with Hear Me When I Call, verses 1, 2, and 3, please.
Hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Unto thee I come in weakness and distress. Hold my trembling hand, lest helpless I should fall. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Oh, hear me when I call. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. More and more I need thy mercy and thy care. Clouds of doubt arise, and faith grows weak and small. Oh, hear me, call. Hear my voice, O God, and cleanse my soul within. Mercy do I need for all my doubts and sin. Only in thy grace I trust my all in all. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Oh, hear me when I call.
Now, before the lesson, what a friend we have in Jesus, 7:30. If it's convenient, would you stand, please?
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there.
Please be seated.
Good morning. I am so grateful to be here, and I am grateful that you are here. I want you to begin by thinking about how we say things in a particular context. This morning, I'm going to be talking to you, the topic says, about a secret. Well, the reality is it's no secret. God has revealed to us His Word. He's told us what He would like for us to think about in prayer. He's given us many, many things. So I want you to think in that context. It's not a secret. And I want you to think also that we're looking in the context of one passage. There are numerous passages about prayer and about what God would want, what He expects. And so we're going to take a look at one specific concept today and one specific idea. So I'm not giving you any secret, really. I'm not giving you the whole of what God would want us to think about with regard to prayer. Another thing that I think about in context is that sometimes we say, I want you to put every worldly thing out of your mind now and let's get ready to worship. Well, I think I understand what people are saying. They're wanting you to think about God's message. They're wanting you to think about going to God in prayer. They're wanting you, as we were invited to by David, to look back at what occurred on the cross and the significance of that in our lives every day. They're asking you to quit thinking about a date if you're a young person or an older person and you're dating and you're thinking about, wow, what a great time I had last night, and boy, I'm looking forward to doing something again today. Instead of thinking about those kinds of worldly things, we want to focus on those things that are of a spiritual nature while we're in here. But in a very real way, we are to think about worldly things. In a very real way, I want you this morning, while I'm teaching, I want you, when we pray again, I want you to think about that. I've heard people, another contextual concept that I want you to think about is that I've heard people who were offended by a song during the Lord's Supper. That's just an example. And I've heard the argument that you can't do two things of worship at the same time and have order and harmony. Well, I disagree with that. We just did it a few minutes ago. Clay led us in some songs that really are so important. The concepts of the song are so neat. But while we were singing, we were also praying. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, were you praying or were you just singing? You see, it's a prayer that we are singing. Forgive our foolish ways. Is that just some generic term out there that really doesn't mean anything? Or are there some foolish ways in my life that need to be forgiven? And do I need to be thinking while I'm praying to God? Can I think about those foolish things while I am praying to God? Or do I just say those things and then sometime out there somewhere, maybe possibly perhaps, grasp some of the foolish things that I'm doing? Reclothe us in our rightful mind. Do I need to be thinking about what it is that has been wrong in my mind that has got me singing and praying? Reclothe me. I don't need to be thinking about you and how you need to be reclothed. I need to be thinking about me. I need those worldly things to come into my mind so that I can deal with them with the Lord. Hear me when I call. I'm coming to you, Lord, in weakness and distress. Anybody coming today before God, stressed out, distress in your life, illness, difficulties in relationships, any problems you're dealing with? What are they? Bring them into your mind when you're singing a song like this. What do you want the Lord to hear? You want the Lord to hear, hey, listen, I have a great voice. Man, I know these words too. Got a good song leader. We've got a great group of voices. Man, listen, God, aren't you pleased? It's not what God's looking for. God's looking for you to call upon Him in your weakness and your distress. Any of you shaking in your boots this morning in a literal way, or especially an emotional way, distressed about things, hold my trembling hand, lest helpless I should fall. Hear me. Oh Lord, hear me when I call. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. And there are people in this room that are grieving. Some of it's about the loss of someone in death that you love, that you care about. We have family members, church family members today who are struggling. Some of you sitting here have lost loved ones, and some of those losses have been somewhere back there, not just this week or this month. But you're hurting and you are grieving. All of our sins and all of our griefs to bear. What are your sins? What are your griefs that you want to lay upon the Lord? That's what He invites us to do. Cast all of your anxieties on Him. He cares for you. When we begin thinking about all of these songs, we're weak, we're heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care. You see, what peace we forfeit so very often as we forget to call upon the Lord in prayer. So for the next few minutes, I want you to think about this great passage in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. The secret, I've said, to answered prayer. If this is a secret, God has let it out of the bag often in the New Testament, telling us some things that we ought to think about. In fact, this is really more about those things that are going on every day in your life than it is about this moment that you get on your knees and you bow to God in prayer. It's about your life. I don't know if this story is true or not, but I read a story about an elderly lady that was driving through a rural part of the state of Kentucky, and it was near dark. It was just twilight. She had a flat. She's elderly enough that she's not going to be able to change the tire for herself. And she pulls over, and she is hoping that someone would come by and help. And many cars pass by. And it was getting the time of night where out in this rural area, very few people would come. And finally, a young man stopped behind her, pulled over, walked up to her car. And he was in his 20s. She said he looked poor. His clothes were nearly worn out. And she was really beginning to be a tad afraid because of the circumstances out in this rural area. The man walked up beside her window and he said, "My name is Sam. And if you will open the trunk, I will get the spare tire out and fix your tire." And he proceeded in just a few minutes. He fixed the tire, and she was able to drive on. She tried to offer him some money, though, before he left. And he said to her, according to her, "Just simply pass the kindness along to someone else." Impressed her greatly. She drove on up the road. She was hungry. There was a diner up the way. And there was a young lady that started to wait on her table and did. She looked and she said in the story, this young lady was very pregnant. I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe she meant far along. But if whether you're just getting started or you're far along, it seems to me you're very pregnant. But she said this young lady was very pregnant. And so you have the image of a woman who is quite a ways along in her pregnancy. And she'd been working there all day, the lady found out. And in spite of the fact that she was expecting a child, she had worked there all day long on her feet. And this elderly woman noticed how friendly, how courteous, how helpful that she was, in spite of having been there all day. So when the older lady left, she wrote a note on a napkin, and she put a pretty sizable tip under the napkin. The young lady came to get it, and there were four crisp $100 bills with a note that said, "Pass this kindness on to someone else." She goes home, and she can't wait now to tell her husband, who's been out of work for some time. They've been praying about how they were going to meet their bills. And she tells him about that. And one of them said, "Now we have an answer to our prayer." By the way, her husband's name was Sam. When you think about life, does God answer prayers like that? I don't know if this story is true or not, but I can tell you this. There is a story out there somewhere just like that, exactly like that, in almost every principle at least. Is it God intervening in our lives? And as we think about what is going on and we begin to look at these verses, I want to share with you this morning. First of all, we need a desire to call upon God, a desire to be who we need to be to make sure that God is listening. Because you see, the person who refuses to listen to God's law, whoever turns away his ear from hearing God's law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. The wise man said those words long, long ago, as we have the Proverbs recorded for us. And so we have to have a desire. In Psalm 6 in verse 2, David was in trouble. And he says, "Oh, you who hear prayer, you to all flesh will come." God is needed in our lives. David had a desire for God to hear him. In Psalm 4 and verse 1, "Hear me when I call." We just sung that. "Oh, Lord, my righteousness." That's from what God says. It's what somebody wanted. There's a desire for God to hear. Do you care this morning whether God hears what you have to say or not? "Hear me when I call." In Revelation 6 and verse 10, we're reading about the awesome difficulties the first century church faced. People giving up their lives because of the gospel message. They were so intent on living the way God wanted them to. Verse 10 says, "The cry of the martyrs was, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?'" They're under the throne and they're crying out to God. What a desire. You have a desire this morning to be heard by God? Well, in this particular passage, I am seeing this morning that beyond a desire for God to hear us, we need to listen to the demands, the responsibilities, the opportunities. But this morning, I've just called it the demand. In verses 4 through, chapter 4, verses 6 through 10 of the book of James, let me share with you those verses since we didn't have an opportunity to hear those read this morning. Beginning in verse 6, James records these words, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." As we think about these verses, the first thing that I want to encourage you that I believe is a demand of God to recognize the value of grace. God gives grace. He has lots of it. He has grace for every concept that you have going wrong in your life, for every concept that you have going right in your life. The manifold grace of God. The many-sided, you will find nothing in this world for which God has no graceful attitude and graceful gifts to give everything. We need to understand the value of grace in our lives. You see, I believe this woman in that story understood the grace she received. Here's a young man who just stops to help. Takes no money, and she decides to be graceful herself. That's the way God is with all of us. We think about, wow, $400. That's what that woman gave to a waitress. That is awesome. I could never do that. And some of us would say, I would never do that. And yet every day we accept God's fantastic gifts, whatever your paycheck is. It's a gift from God. Whatever you have in this world that you appreciate and enjoy, it is a gift from God. We need the grace of God in our lives. And if we're going to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, to call upon Him, we want to receive His grace because it is so necessary. But we want to be graceful people, and we want to be thankful for the grace that is in our lives and recognize the value of being graceful in the same way that God is graceful to us. Oh, there's need for grace in our lives. But there's such a tremendous need for us to be graceful. People hurt us regularly. People tear relationships apart that are so important to us regularly. Do we understand the importance of grace? And when we begin to pray, are we thinking about the need for grace in our lives and all of those sins and griefs that we want God to bear? How about the sins and griefs of other people that we sometimes need to have a part in bearing? We need to appreciate grace in our lives. The second thing this passage teaches us in verse 6 is to remove the roadblock of pride. Pride comes before a fall, the wise man tells us. But pride creates a barrier between us and God. We get to thinking we know more than God sometimes. We know how to treat people that are ugly to us. We know how to take care of business. We know how to give people a peace of mind. And our pride rises up within us and we take charge and here we go. And we kill our own attitude. We kill the attitudes of others. And sometimes we kill relationships. And sometimes, as the Bible teaches us, it takes physical lives. But we need to remove the roadblock of pride. Isaiah 42 and verse 8 says, I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not share my glory with anyone. We need to remove the roadblock of pride. And then verses 6 and 7 teach us as we begin to think about these concepts. After we've removed our pride, now we are ready to humbly submit to God. Submit yourself to God, this passage says. But you can't do that if you maintain that pride. If you take charge of your life instead of letting God take charge of your life, you submit to God. Why not submit to the one that created you, knows you, and understands you better than you understand yourself and knows what is best for you? And so he teaches us about how we ought to treat even the worst of enemies. When we submit to God, we're going to be thinking about grace. We're going to be thinking about removing pride. We're going to be thinking about the humility that it takes to understand what God wants. And then verse 7 says, resist the devil. Oh, the devil gets into our hearts and into our lives and it moves our tongue in such unbelievable ways. It moves our body where we behave in such unthinkable ways. Do you know anybody that just yells out when things go wrong? Or maybe somebody who picks things up and throws them? Do you know somebody who actually physically treats people in an ugly way when things go wrong? Do you know people who walk off from God when they perceive God is mistreating them, when God is giving them the grace and mercy and everything it takes for them to be good and to do right? Oh, the devil is all around us and he'll get us if we don't appreciate grace, if we don't remove pride, and we don't humble ourselves. The devil is ready to go. He'll take you wherever he can away from God. Jesus resisted the devil with prayer. Rather with Scripture. But you see, the devil comes back with Scripture. He wants to get you there too. He wants to get you thinking that, listen, let me quote a passage to you. Let me tell you something spiritual. Let me tell you something that you can hold on to that is from God himself. When the reality is he's misusing the Scripture. The devil's wanting to do that. We need to understand the message of God. And so we need to resist the devil and his temptation. And then verse 8 says, draw near to God. Who do you really want to be close to? Who do you really want to be close to? You want to be close to God? It's your choice. God has come as far as he can come. And he's come a great distance. He's come all the way from heaven into this world to suffer, bleed, die, be raised from the dead for you. None of that had to be done for him. It had to be done for you and me. He's come as far as he can go. You and I have to decide, do we want to be close to him? And the only way that we can be close to him is to get free from sin. As we think about this passage, verse 9 is going to teach us to be sad, lament, mourn, and weep. God isn't asking us to go around crying about life. So often he tells us to rejoice, as he does in Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God isn't advocating for us to be people sad and hurt all the time. But he is asking us definitely to be that way when we see sin in our lives. To mourn and weep and to get rid of that sin as we think about what God would have us to do with our lives. And the way that we do that is, as this verse teaches us, we get rid of this sin by repenting of our sins, turning away from our sins. Let your joy be turned to gloom if you are controlled by sin and led by the devil. But if you repent of your sins, turn away from them, God will give you life as you continue to live with him and serve him and obey him. So we want to repent of that sinful condition. And as we do, that is our way of humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. So we have some demand. But as we think about the desire, do you really have a desire this morning for the Lord to hear you? If you do, you'll listen to the demands that he places before us for a godly life. A godly life doesn't mean one without sin. It means one in which you turn all of those things over to the Lord and let him have his way with you. And so we come to a decision. We need the desire. We need to hear the demands. But we are the ones who have the decision to make. We have the decision to make. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all of you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." God has a well-fitting plan for you today. If you have the desire, you understand the demands, and you want to make the decision to do what is right, God will hear you every time. He'll respond to you every time as we think about our lives. And so this morning, as we think about this great song that we're about to sing, you have to decide what your decision is going to be about life. And so we sing to encourage you to repent if you have sins in your life, to be baptized and born into the family of God if you've never done that, to come home if you're a child of God who's been living in sin. It's a decision, and it's yours as we stand and as we sing.
He will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Bring him your every care, if great or small, whatever troubles you. Thy nameless dread, thy heart he will relieve and lift up thy head. Bring him your weariness, receive his rest, weep out your blinding tears upon his breast. His love is wonderful, his power is great, and none that trust in him shall be desolate.
You see, please. Sing the first verse only of Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this wonderful day that you've blessed us with. Lord, we're grateful for the wonderful weather that you've blessed us with the last couple of days. And Lord, we're grateful that we can come together here as members of your church and of your body, Lord, and we can worship your name, Lord, and sing praises to you. Lord, and there are many members of this church, and there are many members of your body altogether, but Lord, help us to remember that we are one body, and that even though we are many members, that we all have our own responsibilities and roles in serving you and serving the church, and help us to never forget that, Lord. And Lord, just we have many members that are on our mind, that are sick, that are not here, that are at home, Lord, and we just ask a special prayer on them as well, that they need what they need to get their lives together and to feel better, Lord, and only you know what they need, Lord. And Lord, help us to reach out to those in the community and to be a shining light to this world, Lord. And Lord, again, just be with us throughout the rest of this afternoon, throughout the rest of this year. In Son's name that I pray. Amen.